What is up, guys, and welcome to the first episode of the Keystone Chronicles podcast. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for the support. I hope you can subscribe and follow along. Today, we're going to be joined by Hunter Hayward. He runs the Clear Cut Outdoors Instagram page. I believe there's also Facebook, so definitely give him a shout out. Follow him on all the social media platforms. The page is really good. This dude is a straight turkey assassin, man. Really knows his stuff, and we'll get into a lot of that in this episode. Something really cool that he's got going on that I think is just badass is he's shooting these birds with a 410 single shot. Awesome. I think that is cool. Something I could really get down with. We talk a little bit about a youth hunt he had, and he was able to shoot a bird the first Saturday there for the youth hunt. And I recorded this episode, I think, almost 2 weeks ago now. And the first Saturday here, the opener, May 1st in Pennsylvania, I wake up in the morning, I'm out turkey hunting, running around, and right around 8:30, ding, pitcher comes in from him, bird down. So, just great, man. Good, really, really good conversation, really good dude. I think you guys are really going to enjoy, and don't worry, we'll have him back. As for me in the outdoors, I did a lot of fishing here the last couple weeks, and it's been awesome. Honestly, I can't stress enough that if you live in Pennsylvania and you're not trout fishing, where is your brain? You're just totally missing out. So get out there, man. Get out there. Don't give me no excuses. Even if you're not fishing trout, I don't care. Get out there. Get the fishing rod out. You know, after you're done hunting turkey at 12, 1 o'clock, you get back to the truck. If you got time, get out on a lake. Get out on a stream. This is the time. You know, it ain't too hot. It ain't too cold. Get out there and enjoy it. So lots of wild browns, lots of natives this week for me. A buddy of mine and myself, we went on a bird hunt just this past Saturday, and wouldn't you know, we're sitting there and it started snowing and we're getting soaking wet, but we had a bird going in the morning, couldn't get him to come in, but we hunted till about 11 o'clock or so, came down to a mountain stream that he knew of, and we fished for natives, and I think I caught 5 and he caught 2, and we just had one hell of a time, and I just, you know, it's one day, one hell of a day in a bush, man. That's just the way it was written up. You know, when you have the time and you can be out there doing that kind of stuff.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Keystone Chronicles podcast.
Get to it.
With us today, we got the turkey assassin, Hunter Hayward.
Enough of me.
This guy's got some good stories. He's got some good stuff lined up for Clear Cut Outdoors. Hunter, how are you, buddy?
I'm good, man. How are you?
I'm pretty good. We were talking right beforehand. Hunter's got a little bit of a sickness going on there. So if he's a little drained there, he's trying to get better. He's trying to get ready for this Saturday. How about it?
Yeah, man. It's been kicking my butt lately, especially this last week. Like I was telling you before, it's just got me down.
Yeah, man, I hope you heal up here. I mean, you know, there ain't nothing worse than going in the woods with a cough. And you know, I actually remember when I was younger, my dad bought me this Nightingale, the muff cough or something like that. And it was like this little thing that you could cough into. And it was the stupidest thing. But you know what? I mean, it's been years, actually. Maybe there's still something like that out there, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about, man. I even said to my buddy on set yesterday morning that don't let me forget my cough drops. We got down to where we were setting up, and yeah. I said, yeah, I forgot those cough drops. So it wasn't wasn't ideal.
Yeah, man, I feel you. That sucks. Like I said, that's probably one of the stupidest things that can happen, though. I mean, as long as you got all your energy, though, you know, I mean, that's another thing. But so let's get right into it, man. I follow the Clear Cut Outdoors page. I was super excited to have you on there, and actually, I didn't even know it, but Hunter and I were talking beforehand, and he actually doesn't live real far from me, which is awesome. So yeah. we're super relatable with this conversation, and let's talk about this youth hunt, man. I'm dying to hear about it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm happy to share about the youth hunt. The youth hunt was, like I was telling you before, is probably honestly one of the craziest hunts, your picture perfect turkey hunt that you don't get often.
Right.
And it was just amazing. But anyways, so I have this piece of ground down in Kylertown, which I don't know if you know where that's from.
Mm-hmm.
But down there. There's quite a bit of few birds on it, and I was watching them there the last couple of weeks. Actually, it's probably been a month now I've been watching them, and they've literally been doing the same thing every morning, every night, going up the same roost, coming down, doing the same thing in the morning. And well, actually, if we're going to start from the beginning of it, I had a youth lined up to take on Saturday who ended up canceling on me pretty like short notice kind of deal a couple of days ago.
Wow.
And I was bummed out because like I said, I had this hunt drawn up perfect, mm-hmm. and, you know, it'd be a perfect hunt for a youth. But luckily I was able to find another kid. And so we went down into there to this place, and it's a field, and it's kind of, we like to hunt it because there's a lot of birds, but it borders right up against 80 and another pretty major roadway too. So it's hard to hear, and it just sucks, especially when the roads start getting busy and that. But I mean, for a hunt like this, it wasn't nothing. But
right.
Anyways, so we went down in there the Friday morning, and I was scouting, watching the birds again, pitched right down to the corner of this field where the point of the woods comes out the furthest, and stayed there, strutted around, did their thing there all morning. And I left and went back Friday night there, and sure enough, they were there again. Same place, flew up, and I actually, not many times in the woods do you get to actually see the birds in the trees the night before the roost. I mean, you might hear birds or hear birds fly up. Sometimes I get lucky and can hear them fly up if they don't gobble on the roost at night, or, you know.
Right.
But I got to see exactly what trees they were in, so it was perfect. So fast forward to Saturday morning, we headed down there and went down. We got, like I was telling this kid that I took, him and his dad and his older brother actually tagged along as well. So there was four of us. So, I mean, it was a little nervous about that, but I mean, heck, I wanted everybody to enjoy it. So
right.
Anyways, we headed down in there and got up underneath this hemlock, and we were sitting up underneath it, and we had to get in there super early. And the poor kid, he's only, I think he's 12 or 13, but, he was so tired. I mean, slept the whole way down there to it. Once we woke him up, when we got there to walk down, he was just complaining the whole time.
Right.
Your typical 12, 13-year-old.
Yep.
Doesn't want to be up at, I think we were down there at, I think we were set up under the tree at 4:50, actually. So, I mean, it was well hour and 10 minutes before fly down or anything mm-hmm. like that. And as soon as we got on the tree, passed out. So that was perfect. But anyways, we're sitting there, and how I had it set up was the birds were down this field edge, probably. From what I seen them up in the tree and everything in my mind, I had it set up that we were probably about, they're probably about 40, 50 yards down the field edge and probably 30 yards back into the woods. And they worked up towards us in the morning. So, you know, it would be perfect for the decoys and everything with the kid and that for distraction and stuff.
Right.
But as it got lighter, closer to 6 o'clock, I think it was about, I'm guessing it was probably 5:30, 5:35, I think, is when it all really started to get crazy. We were sitting there, and me and the older brother, we sat back, and his dad and the youth there, they were sitting up right in front of us about 5 foot, 10 foot maybe. And we were laying behind this mound. And I was just laying there with my eyes closed, waiting for it to get lighter. And I heard this noise, and I was like, man, I leaned over and told him, I was like, I think I just heard one spit and drum. And he was like, really? And I'm like, yeah. I was like, maybe I missed one in here last night whenever I was watching them. And he was like, you think? And I was like, I don't know. He's like, just wait. I'm like, don't move. Be quiet. Sure enough, I heard it again. I was like, yeah. I'm like, man, there's definitely one that's a lot closer than what I thought.
Right.
And you could just hear it. I mean, it was plain as day. Like, yeah, I could tell he was like only a few trees away from us. I was like, oh man. I'm like, that ain't good. So it got lighter and lighter there. And about, I'm guessing it was probably about 20 minutes before he shot the bird. He gobbled, and I was like, yeah, that bird's literally right on top of us. And I kind of rolled over and looked up out of the corner of my eyes, and I could see him. He was, I mean, only probably 20 yards, if that, maybe 15, probably at most 20.
And he was still roosted at this point, though.
Yeah. He was still roosted right up in the tree. I could see him. It, like I said, the patch of woods that we were in was not big at all.
Right.
Like, it was maybe, maybe 100 yards wide by 200 yards long on the up against this road in the field edge there. Right. And like I said, it was mostly open oaks, and there was some thick hemlocks, thankfully. And he was right there on the edge of the thick hemlocks. I could see him up there strutting and stuff. And the other ones were sounding off where I saw them in the trees the night before. I was like, those are the ones that I thought that were only in here. I didn't realize this guy snuck in here somewhere that close to us. And so about, I think it was 550, 555-ish, right in that range. They were gobbling the entire time, man. It was, like I said, I mean, you couldn't ask for it any better for on the roost, and they were gobbling the entire time up there. Finally, I think about 555, like I said, I made the first call. He had gobbled. I called back at him, just real light. Gobbled back, right back away again. Waited in a couple more minutes. I think it maybe 3 minutes went by. It was getting closer to six now. He gobbled. I called at him. He gobbled right back again. And with being that close, I was like, man, he obviously sees the decoys. I'm like, he's got to either fly to us or he's flying across that road because we spooked him.
Right.
Like, either way, something's got to happen here quick. I think it was probably about 6:05. He started to fly. And at this point, I wasn't moving. I mean, it was light, you know, and I wasn't looking at him anymore. And he was flying, and I was like, man, where's he flying to? And I mean, it seemed like forever, like you could hear his wings going, and it seemed like forever, but I'm sure it was only a second or two, and this flash went right in front of us. And I mean, like right in front of us, the hemlock branches, you know, like hemlocks, they kind of hang out over.
Right.
His wings had to have touched it, and he right in front of us, and out into the field he went. And I was like, oh, man. And, like, there's a little hump there where we had the decoy set, and we couldn't see on the other side of the hump. I mean, it was a small little hump. But, I mean, it sucked because it was there, but there was nothing I could do about it. I was like, I'll just put the decoys on the hump, and if anything comes into the field, hopefully they'll come right up on top with the decoys. And I called real quick there. He hammered. And I was like, man, I leaned over to his brother again, and I said, man, he didn't pitch very far out in that field, and it wasn't even more than – probably 10 seconds 15 seconds, I could just see the top of the fan coming right up over the hump to the decoys. And I was telling him, I was like, oh man, there he is. I could see the youth in front of me. He was getting ready and everything, and I could see the end of the gun barrel just shaking away. I mean, I don't know if it was, I mean, probably majority of it was nervousness and you know, right. You know that it get right before things happen,
right?
But or he was freezing. I mean, it was only 33 or 34 degrees down there that morning.
Yeah, it was cold.
Yeah, and the bird worked. I mean, like I said, like I was telling you before, picture perfect. He came full strut right up to the decoys. Had a Jake and a hen out there, and he spun around them. I think it was two times. He did two spins. He came to the side there, and he started to, like, you know how when they flog the decoys, they kind of start to put their wings back and their tail fan down and stick their head up to, you know,
yep,
show their boss, and bam, and the bird just dropped, straight drop, never flopped, never kicked, nothing. And, you know, his dad, man, just blew up in excitement. I mean, it was the greatest thing ever. His dad was just freaking out, just so ecstatic, and everyone was so pumped. And the older brother ran out there and grabbed the bird. And the bird didn't do anything when he grabbed it. And, you know, sometimes after you kill a bird, man, they flap around, right, freak out and everything. Mm-hmm. Stone dead holding it, man. It was awesome. Like I was talking about with that 410.
Right.
It's crazy. But it ended up being a nice bird. It actually, from what his dad said, it was the nicest one he's killed so far. So he is 13, I believe, actually, now I think about it. The last 2 years, he's 2 for 2 on the youth day. He killed a bird his first youth day out right off the roost like that. Then last year he killed one, and they worked for it for a little bit. And then this year, another one right off the roost. So now he's 3 for 3.
Boy, he's going to think that this game's easy.
That's what I told him there when we were heading down, because his dad told me, he's like, yeah, you know, he's 2 for 2 on the youth day. And I was like, oh, dang. I was like, I didn't realize that. I was like, now there's a lot of pressure. I said, well, we're going to try our best here.
Boy, he picked the right guy to take him, that's for sure.
Yeah, it was awesome, man. I love the youth hunts for sure.
Well, there ain't much better than that. You know, I was telling you earlier, I was at a certain spot fishing there, and I seen a bunch of kids fooling around, and I had some minnows on me, and I knew that these brook trout would eat them up. And I come down and I said, here, guys, use this fishing rod, you know, and there's, you can't explain that feeling, you know, it's kind of like you cook for people or something and you bring it out and everyone's like, man, this is great. It's like that same feeling. You're like, this is just freaking awesome. Plus you're passing all that knowledge down.
Like I was telling my girlfriend, Matt, I was like, and she knows how much I'm obsessed with turkeys and stuff. And she's like, you don't care about taking other people to your spots. And like, I'd give up anything to take a youth every day.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's almost better than you even killing it.
No, man, it is. It is for me. I get more enjoyment out of seeing a kid like that shoot another bird than I do.
Yeah. Well, it feels good that you know that you're passing the tradition on, you know, even that kid, even if you guys wouldn't have killed one that day, when you had a newbie with you or whatever, as long as they had fun, you know, they're going to want to go. Yeah, man,
I love getting out the youth day, just the call. I just love,
right.
I guess, and turkey hunting is my thing. I love turkey hunting.
Well, let's get right into, you know, I know you're very knowledgeable on turkey hunting. So let's get right into what do you do in a preseason circumstance? So May 1st is the opening day for us, and I know, you know, you were probably getting ready for this past Saturday since you're going to always take a youth out and get them a bird. What steps do you go through, and when do you start looking for birds?
Man, honestly, this last winter here, as you know, was rough for everything. I mean, you can relate, because over that way, I don't know how much snow you guys got, but like I was telling you, where I live up here on the mountain, man, there was a foot, almost 2 foot of snow probably from the beginning of winter till just a few weeks ago, actually. The snow just kind of got out. Actually, we just had snow. Heck, we just got another dusting of snow there. What was that? I think it was last.
It was Wednesday or Thursday. Thursday morning.
What day?
I think it was Thursday morning. Wednesday or Thursday morning.
Yeah, I think you're right. It was Thursday.
Yeah.
So, but anyways, we were talking about it there because everyone loves shed hunting and that. And
right.
Like I was telling them guys, honestly, as soon as deer season's over for me, I switch to turkey. I mean, a lot of guys think I'm crazy for not chasing the bone for shed hunting and everything. But right. I just honestly, I'd say right as deer season ends, man, I'm on turkey mode. I got the turkey calls out. I'm playing with them, you know, playing with my stuff, making sure everything's cool and whatnot.
Right.
And but I'd say every year by March 1st is probably my first time that I'm going out in the mornings and trying to find birds or even hear the first gobble of the year, honestly. I'd say March 1st.
All right. So you'd go out and you find these birds. Are you going out and are you talking to the birds at all? Or, I mean, you're not going to educate the birds. What's your process when you find some birds?
So, man, I mean, when I first started, everyone always was like, you know, don't call before the season, all this, you're going to educate the birds and stuff. And, right. and to this day, I mean, I believe that if you're out there before the season at your spot where you're hunting and you're calling and say a bird, say you go to a spot that you know and you call and they gobble and that's what you use to find them and hear them gobble in the morning. I mean, yeah, that'll work. But birds, I mean, yeah, I mean, they'll get educated, but I think the biggest thing for them is that repetition of, especially if it's public land.
Right.
I think the repetition really, really gets them, man. Whenever you got 10 guys going down a gravel road, those birds hear that gravel popping.
Mm-hmm.
They hear the door open. They hear you shut the door. They hear the hen call, and they're like, "Oh man," they gobble at it. But then you get back in the truck and you start the truck. And then they hear the gravel popping again, man. They hear that a couple times. They're gonna know that's weird.
Right.
And especially guys going out and getting boots on the ground calling and birds end up seeing them after they were just calling. Yeah, I mean, I'm not doing that. I'm out there. I would say 9 times out of 10, I usually don't even make a peep. Right. Honestly, I just let nature take its course. I don't even owl hoot, crow call, coyote howl.
Right.
I mean, I've seen guys blow their truck horns, but yeah, I ain't out there doing any of that.
Right. Right. Yeah. I'm the same. I mean, like you said, when I was younger, I'd go out with an owl call or hit like the coyote call up or whatever. And, you know, I think that was just more as excitement thing, and then as I learned, you know, to just keep my mouth shut and find the birds and
yeah, I mean, man, that's, it's great. Like, there ain't nothing wrong with that. I'm not dissing on the, I don't want anybody to get that feeling that I'm dissing on people going out there and teaches that one. I mean, mm-hmm. if you want to get the birds to go, well, that's up to you, man. That's however you want to do it. I mean, obviously, like I said, a bunch of different ways of work, but that's just not what I do. I like to let nature take its course. I mean, I'll hoot here and there, but if I'm making anything in the morning, it's an owl hoot.
Right. Now, when you go out and you do find a bird and you get set up on it, is there a certain terrain or anything that you look to set up on? Do you try to set up like above the bird? Do you try to set up in a certain set of trees? Is there like certain terrain features or anything that you look for to get the advantage on them?
I mean, it all depends on situations. I mean, if I know the bird's there already and I'm going in to set up on them, if they're close to, like I said, from that youth hunt, a hemlock, mm-hmm. that's my go-to tree that I'm going under, a hemlock. They're big. Mm-hmm. They got the low-lying branches that hang out underneath you. It's dark underneath them. Mm-hmm. Camo's green. Pine needles are green. That's the tree I'm going to. And like I said, that hump in the field too, and I you hate it, and you got to hate it, and you got to love it, because who doesn't like to see the bird the entire time, you know?
Right.
But that hump, man, that – those humps in the when you're setting up on a bird, if you can get a change in elevation between you and that bird, just even the slightest, to where that bird has to, especially if you're not using decoys, which is my favorite way to do it, if you're not using decoys and you can get a little hump in between you and the bird and you shut up, they got to come looking, man. If they come up on a flat and they can see and there's no hen decoy or nothing there, even if there is a decoy, it still might, they see it, why are they going to come clean over to it, you know? But if mm-hmm. you have that hump in between you and them, they have to come up over. I mean, it's just part of them. It drives them crazy. They got to come up over and look, and then they're in gun range.
Right, right. Yeah, that's definitely a good point, and that's definitely something I try to do too. Have you ever called any turkeys downhill to you?
Actually, let me think. Yeah, how many? One, two. They're on a single hand. Yeah. I could probably count the times that's worked for me.
Right.
And that was on times that it shouldn't have worked. That was one that I can think of specifically about probably 15 minutes from my house here over on public land. I was working out in Oak Ridge with my dad, actually tagged along with me the one morning. And these birds were gobbling where I knew they would be there first thing in the morning, actually, and it was well before daylight, and we were working over to there, and they were right across the hill from us, and we were just standing there, and I was like, well, let's not go blown out across there, because I don't know what else is in between us and them. Let's just wait here, and, you know,
right,
we'll make a move after they fly down. So they flew down and that, and then I called one time just to see if they were still going to, you know, work. And they shut up, and I was like, man, I don't know. We were sitting there contemplating. We were on an Oak Ridge, so we were standing probably, I'd say we were 40 yards from the top of the ridge where it rolled over there, wide open oaks, and the bottom got thick by a creek, and the birds were right on the other side of the creek there. That was the other reason I didn't want to drop into there, because I didn't think we'd be able to hear them too well with the creek and everything.
Right, right.
Like I said, I'd rather call them up the hill to us.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, we were standing there, and I called one more time, and another bird that hadn't talked all morning gobbled right on the hill, right above us. And we didn't have anything else to do. I just told my dad, I said, yeah, we got to sit down. I was like, I mean, it was, the top of the hill was 40 yards. The bird was 50 yards. I mean, he was right there. Mm-hmm. There was nothing we could do. It's not like we could back out or anything. We sat down, and I never even made a peep, because I didn't like like I said, how we were set up with him above us. And just those two calls that I made to those other birds, I'm guessing the first one he locked on and was coming. And then the second time I called to those other birds is when he was right there and gobbled. And we sat down, and it wasn't even more than a minute, and I could hear the leaves. I could hear him walking in the leaves up above us. And I seen his head, and he came peeking down over the hill. And he actually did come probably another 10 yards down off of the ridge, and he was coming down the hill. And I ended up shooting that bird. And like I said, that's how most of those ones that I said coming down, calling a bird down the hill have happened, where it shouldn't have. And right. it just happened to be that way. I was set up that way and it just happened to work. When I got into the woods, yeah, no way. I definitely don't want to be down below a bird. I'd much rather have them have to come up the hill than come down the hill.
Right. So you were saying that you like to hunt without the decoys most of the time. When you do use the decoys, what do you use? Do you use hens? Do you use something with a redhead? And also, how do you face them whenever you have them set up out in front of you?
So, I mean, I'm no expert on the decoys because, like I said, I don't use them. I mean, I'm not saying that they ain't good.
Right.
And decoys definitely work, as like you saw, like I said, with the youth hunt. I called a total of 3 times on that youth hunt. And, I mean, whether I called or not, that bird was probably going to come to the decoys no matter what. So they do work. But if I'm setting up decoys, it's a hen and Jake. The hen usually I can change with the hen. Sometimes my favorite probably I'd say is the not even putting a stake in the hen, just having the hen sit on the ground kind of like she's laying there.
Right.
And the Jake standing up above her, kind of guarding her and obviously facing her. And for preference with decoys, I mean, a redhead, I think that's what a bird's going to look at the most of the, mm-hmm. is the redhead on the Jake. I don't think it has to have a beard or anything like that.
Right,
but
right.
Definitely a Jake and a hen. But hunting with my grandfather, which is who I really, my dad and my grandfather, but turkey hunting, my grandfather is who I mostly grew up hunting with. And him and I are totally different on turkey hunting, so we butt heads a lot. And now that I've gone on my own and everything, so when we get back together for hunting, you know, he's always wanting to use decoys, and I'm like, no, just trust me, don't use the decoys. And
right. And
so they're actually not, I think it's been 3 years now since he called me in a bird. The tables have kind of switched a lot now. I call him in turkeys. But he's called in whenever I was growing up and we were hunting. He has called in a lot of birds using a full strut gobbler and a hen.
Okay.
And a lot of guys, I feel like, are scared to use the full strut gobbler because they think, oh, man, it'll scare the bird off. But, man, I'm telling you, every time that whenever I was younger and he took me, that worked a lot. And actually, like I said, about 3 years ago was the last time that we used that setup, and it worked flawlessly, man. I mean, so.
Yeah, it's definitely one of them things, like, you know, to each his own. But I will say, in my experiences, and this is something I bring up to guys, because this is definitely a question that I think gets brought up in a lot of conversations when guys are talking turkey hunting. And I prefer not to use the decoys. I don't know. I've just had so many birds, I feel like they just look and they're like, there's a hen, but why isn't she coming to me? You know what I mean?
Yep. Yep.
And yeah, I think they see that, you know, whether, you know, I'm running a redhead with her or whatever. But just like they, I don't know. They either come in and they're, you know, they're looking to kick some ass, or they just, you know, they're like, hey, whatever. She ain't coming to me, then I ain't going in. So, I prefer not to use them, and I like to run and gun too. So it's just less weight. But
that's exactly how I am. And like when guys ask me that a lot too, I mean, with the decoys, I mean it. Yeah, it works, but I was like, there's times that it doesn't work. And like I was telling you with that that terrain, man, nine times out of ten you get that little bit of a hump in front of you, between you mm-hmm. and the bird. It's working. I mean, you're gonna get those ones that try to circle you and stuff, and that'll hang up still even with that. But
right.
I mean, I trust that way more than I would with the decoys.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt, man. I think a lot of guys just see stuff on YouTube and television and all that, and they see these guys setting these birds up, you know. But like I said before, you know, this conversation for us is very relatable because of our geographical locations, and the birds act the same, you know.
Yeah, we're not far.
Right, exactly. You get somewhere else, though, you know, and like I know you hunt other states and stuff, and I have too, and you know, animals act differently. It don't matter what they are, turkeys, deer, squirrel, rabbits, I don't know, whatever you want to talk about, but it they're different, you know. I mean, the elevation up here, you get out, you know, say you get down towards Lancaster or something and you hunt them birds where it's all flat, or like Northern Ohio or something, and things are different. You know, they act different.
Yeah, man, I think a lot of guys, especially from Pennsylvania, like you said, with the whole TV thing, man, mm-hmm. a lot of those TV shows you're seeing are out in those Midwest states and, right. And in flat states where the birds are seeing, you know, hundreds of yards, you know, and decoys are going to work way more than the elevation thing where, like I said, with us living here, I mean, we're in mountains and stuff and we're in woods and stuff hunting these birds and killing these birds.
Yeah.
I mean, I just think that, like you said, where you're at, I mean, is a whole different thing. And then those guys see those on TV, those guys, you know, setting up in a field and the birds are out there 200-300 yards and a guy crawls out with a full strut gobbler and shakes it around and moves the tail fan around. The birds come running right to him and he shoots them.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, you're not, first off, you're not doing that PA because it's illegal. But right,
exactly.
Second off, you might get it to work in PA, but I just don't think that it's going to ever beat, like I said, no decoys, run and gun with the elevation thing, the little hump in between you and the bird.
Yeah. I tell you what, you'd be a pretty wild person if you were putting a turkey fan out in front of your face in Pennsylvania, because...
Yeah, man, I was just about to say that, actually, yeah. Not only is it illegal, not only do I not think that it would work as well as other methods,
right.
you're ballsy if you're putting a full-strut gobbler decoy in front of you, especially on public land, or heck, even in a field around here with a road nearby. You're crazy.
Yeah.
You're asking for it.
Yeah, we got a lot of turkey hunters. That's no doubt, man.
Yeah, man. Yeah, for sure.
I actually had a conversation with another turkey hunter here about a week ago, and we were talking about all the statistics and numbers, and he knows his stuff pretty well, and he told me that Pennsylvania has the most turkey hunters out of all the states. So,
that's, I mean, yeah, man. I never looked into anything like that. I mean, the numbers that I'm looking at are especially this year,
mm-hmm.
with everything going on, I'm sure that you've heard, you know, people are talking about the numbers declining and stuff and mm-hmm. poults and
right.
and what's causing it and everything. I mean, that's kind of what I've been stuck up in looking is that those kind of numbers. But yeah, I mean, I can agree Pennsylvania probably does have the number one turkey hunters.
Yeah.
And you know, out of everyone else, there are a lot of people that turkey hunt in PA.
Yeah. Well, you know, a lot of guys in PA like to complain that our season comes in late. And there's no doubt about it. Yeah, you would probably have more success and as a state we'd probably kill more birds, say it come in last weekend or something.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think, you know, for reproduction, boy, I think where it comes in now is probably the best, honestly.
I mean, yeah, you're definitely right. Guys definitely are talking about that and complaining about that.
Right.
And you couldn't have said it better. I 100% agree. I get shit for it, and you know, I'll stand behind it though. I have no trouble killing two PA turkeys a year myself, and I have no trouble calling in numerous birds for other people and right. and throughout the year, and even to the last day of the turkey season, I'm still on gobbling birds. Not, I mean, but yeah, like you said, if it came in 3 weeks earlier, you know, yeah, right. I mean, more birds are definitely going to die. More guys are going to have more success, but I just don't think that it would be sustainable. I mean, it's,
yep.
I just don't. I don't agree with moving it forward. I really hope it doesn't change. Honestly, I like it how it is. I like it staying where it's at. I really don't want to see it.
Definitely. That's definitely, we're definitely in the same boat for that one there. Cause I mean, you know, when you start kicking these hens off their nests and everything, they already have enough to deal with. And we were talking about as many turkey hunters and all the pressure that they already have, you know, on top of all the predators and everything. And giving them a little bit of time isn't a problem. But how do you feel, and this is definitely one of them conversations, but how would you feel about being able to hunt them birds on a Sunday?
I want it. I'm definitely for Sunday hunting.
Yeah.
100%. Actually, a big thing that I really wish would happen is, let me think here, West Virginia, I can use them as an example.
Yeah.
Close to us, you know. I mean, they're somewhat close. They're right. They border us, you know. They're close to us.
Yeah.
Their youth hunt actually is Saturday, Sunday. I would, even if they gave us that, it would be a step in a good direction. I really wish that the youth hunt was Saturday, Sunday at least.
Yep. I'm definitely on board with you. If they want to do something special, yeah, like something like that, or, you know, you can only hunt public land on Sunday. I don't know. Maybe you only have private land on Sunday. Something along them lines if they wanted to do something odd, you know what I mean? But still, oh man, we're in the past here. You know, I hunt all these other states too, like Ohio and Indiana and you know, Maryland and stuff. And, you know, especially like Ohio, I can take off of work Friday or, you know, get off work early or whatever, and I can go to Ohio and I can hunt until Sunday night. You know, that really helps with sales for license. You know, a guy from Ohio is probably not going to want to do that in Pennsylvania. He can only hunt Saturday.
Yeah, man, that's and like from hunting West Virginia the last few years, they finally changed that you can hunt Sunday down there. And before, man, it sucked. You couldn't hunt Sunday. So like you said, I get off. I have a Friday and Mondays actually. So mm-hmm. I mean, I could go down there Thursday night and hunt Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. I can get 4 days of hunting in. Where yeah. like you said, a guy goes down there or a guy would come here like that for PA, hanging out Friday, Saturday. Then what's he gonna do? Is he sit in his truck, sit in his camper, sit in his tent, sit in his hotel, whatever, all day Sunday, and then wait till Monday? Like, nobody wants to do that.
On top of that, man, you know that guy has to eat. And if he's mm-hmm. staying somewhere local, you know, he's spending his money, or he's staying another night, he's spending his money. I mean, I always tell people, if anybody wants to come on the podcast and they have an open invite, just come in and give me a couple good reasons why I shouldn't be for Sunday hunting. I'm all ears. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm with you, man. I don't, like you said, I know there's a big landowner over here. I'm not going to mention any names. And you know, it's his land. He can do whatever he wants with it. And, you know, I'm glad that he's, you know, voicing his opinion on it. And, you know, as anyone should voice their opinion and stuff and speak out how they feel. But whenever those three Sunday huntings came in, you know, he made several statements everywhere, you know, like no Sunday hunting on my property.
Right.
And he owns thousands of acres. And that shut down a lot of Sunday hunting for those 3 days, because he keeps it open. Like, you know, it's, you know, you don't even have to ask permission. You can hunt it. And he didn't want anyone hunting Sunday, which that kills me even, because, you know, I have private land that I hunt and stuff, and I'm fortunate enough to hunt private land. And I love hunting public land as well. I mean, I'll never get away from public land, but some of my killer close home spots and hunting holes are on his land. And that really sucked. Even like for deer, I know we didn't get one for turkey, but for deer, man, I really hunt a lot of his places for deer and stuff. And that just sucks. And I know for turkey, I rely on his land even for turkeys quite a bit. And I know if they did give us a Sunday in turkey, he'd obviously be the same way for that. But, and that would really suck. But I mean, his reason was religion. And like, I think a lot of most people's are, but you know, I mean, let that up to the landowners like that. And if they don't want people hunting it on Sunday, you know,
it's their land. Right.
But open the public land and open the land and leave it to the people to decide what they want to do on Sunday.
Absolutely, man. I agree 100%. And you know, I'm sure that, so the game wardens will probably be like, no, what the hell are you doing? That's their day off, you know? but you know, yeah, it needs to happen. I don't see it not happening, honestly, within the next probably 3 or 4 years. You'll probably have it. But we definitely took a step in the right direction, and it's exciting. So
yeah, for sure. I'm glad that we got those 3 days, and yeah, I was kicking some dirt and pissed, man. I was hoping that because they announced those two and then hid the third day till closer, and I was praying and praying, man, that third day was going to be in Spring Gobbler, and unfortunately, it wasn't.
Yeah. I you know, I guess I'm there with you. I just at least wanted to see the, you know, one Sunday for the deer, and I got it. And the weather was actually pretty shitty that day, but I went out. I made sure I was in that tree all day, you know.
Yeah, I do remember that Sunday that you're talking about this year, because I was like, yeah, I think actually I do know what you're talking about. Yeah, that Sunday it was the weather was horrible.
Yeah, it was windy and rainy.
Like, you're going hunting, and I'm like, damn right, I'm going hunting. This is the first Sunday ever. I'm hunting. Yeah. I don't care.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. So you got a bird picked out for Saturday or what?
Yeah, probably right where I was at yesterday, honestly.
Perfect, man. That's awesome.
Those birds actually, with the shooting and everything, and he was the first bird down. And like I said, he roosted by himself. Well, not by himself, but he roosted on the other. He roosted closer to us than the other group. And the other group had four long beards, a Jake, and I think three hens, maybe two hens. I don't know.
Yeah.
And they actually hadn't flown down by the time he flew down, and the hunt happened so quick that they'd never even got the chance to fly down. And probably because it was still, you know, it was early, and you know, they obviously weren't spooked. I mean, he wasn't even spooked.
Right.
Like I said, heck, we were in there at 4:45. They weren't even awake yet. After the shot and everything, they pitched out over to the other edge of the field and carried on their day and watched us over there, pick their buddy up and head up out of there. And this morning I went down there and they were right where they were every other day and did exactly what they do every other day, just with one less bird.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, man, you know, we jumped right into this podcast, and I was like super excited to hear that story about the youth hunt, but I didn't even get you to be able to introduce yourself. So go ahead and do that, and then also give us a little story about, how about we do this? Give me your first hunting experience that you can remember that kind of got you, you know, like the bug bit you, and that's what kept it going all these years.
All right. Well, like you said, I'm Hunter Hayward, and I'm local from you in Central PA here. And for the background, and like I said, I grew up hunting with my grandfather and everything, and you know, I played sports in high school, junior high, and you know what, mm-hmm. and all, you know, your typical kid.
Mm-hmm.
I did your typical stuff, played football, baseball, went out in the woods, hung out with friends, all that good stuff and everything. And I started hunting, I think, when I was right around that weird age where you couldn't, I was when you couldn't, you remember back whenever you couldn't hunt until you were, what was it, 12?
12, yep, yep, I remember.
There wasn't like a mentored thing or anything like that?
Yep, yep.
And I would go with my dad and pap and just sit there in the woods and you know, watch them hunt and, you know, and just sit there with them. And, you know, that kind of got me, you know, excited and whatnot. Right. Like, I loved doing that. I loved trout fishing and stuff, getting into that too.
Yeah.
But I'd say probably when I was 12 years old, that's when I started hunting. Like I said, I wasn't lucky enough and fortunate enough to have the mentor program, you know, or even when we had that, where I think it was, you could, like, you're an adult could give up their tag. I think it was something like that, wasn't it?
Yeah. That's what the first or two, I think maybe 2 years they did that. Yeah. It was like that. It was the adult could put their tag on it or whatever for the mentor tag.
Yeah, and then now they change it. The mentor actually gets their own tag, I think.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They're doing a good job for that, for sure.
Yeah, I'm really glad to see that come a long way, but I wasn't fortunate enough to have that.
Me neither.
And yeah, I know a lot of guys are that way. Only our new kids are like that.
Right.
But so I wasn't like that. So my first hunting experience, I think, was when I was 12, and that was with my grandfather deer hunting. And man, we were down there on his property, and it was the high school I went to, and a lot of guys that listen to this, especially if guys outside of PA listen to this, they're probably gonna be shocked. Well, I don't know, maybe it's like that everywhere, I don't know. But we got in the first 2 days of deer season off in school.
Right.
If you guys were like that when you went to school or not.
Well, we got the first day off, but Dad always made sure we got Tuesday and Wednesday off too.
Yeah, well, maybe it was like that. My memory just thinks that it was Monday and Tuesday the school gave us off, but right. Maybe you're right. Maybe it was just Monday. And like I said, I was young and stupid. I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe I did just get that second day off.
Right.
But, anyways, yeah, so we went down there, and I actually keep a hunting journal, and I still do to this day. And, you know, when I come home, I write literally everything down detail for detail.
Wow.
And, my first hunt is something that I look back and read about every chance I get. And obviously I was young, so it was the weirdest story ever that I've written down. Spelling was all messed up, you know?
Yeah, but man, like, that's awesome that you keep a journal, man. That's something that I really wish I would have done the same thing.
Yeah, man, I'm really, really, really glad. And like I said, my grandfather, man, he's a great man. He, he pictures of everything. He has a huge book down at his office, and you know, puts pictures. He keeps a picture in there with a little story on the back of the picture, even of every hunt that he's been a part of, or that I've been a part of, you know, or and his son and his grandson, his other, my cousin, his other grandson, you know. So I mean, I can look back and read about everything. But yeah, that first hunt when I was a kid, that was probably what got me the bug, man. The first day I was shaking so bad on a spike I couldn't even shoot it. And then an 8-point had come down and I missed it because I was shaking so bad, you know. And me and my grandfather went home that night on Monday, and we went back out Tuesday to the same spot. And man, the biggest buck that I've killed in my day to this date, actually. First thing in the morning, it just cracked daylight, came walking through the, it was walking, we were hunting near pines and hemlocks and that, and we could just hear this crashing through the pines, man. And it was, I can still to this day remember that noise of the antlers snapping the limbs off the pines. And and I was 12, I had no idea what that was. I just thought it was a freaking bear or another monster coming to get the tree stand. And man, this giant buck came walking out, and I was 12, so man, I was shaking already. Even if it was a spike, it didn't matter.
Right.
And my pap looked at me, and I still remember him saying, he was like, "Oh, it's just a nice buck." And I was like, "All right." And he's like, "Get on it and shoot it." And I didn't even look at the horns because he told me, he's like, "Don't look at the horns."
Right.
He's like, "Get on its front shoulder and shoot it." And man, I got right on its front shoulder and pulled the trigger, and it took off running. And we got down out of the tree stand and started to look for blood, man. We couldn't find blood, and he took me back to the stand. I got back up in the stand. He said, "Just wait here, I'll go look." And he went and looked. He found blood finally. He came back and he was talking to me. He was telling me, he's like, "Let's just wait a little bit." And it wasn't more than probably 20 minutes. This other guy came walking down off of we were hunting right on the edge of our property line, mm-hmm. and the neighboring property guy came walking down, and he was like, "Are you guys going to get that buck?" And my pap was like, "What are you talking about?" And he's like, "It died right on the middle of the fuller path." And he's like, "It's the biggest buck I've ever seen in my life." And I was like, "Really?" And I was like, "You told me it was a small buck." And then we went up there, and it was like 142 inch 10-point now at sport. And yeah, I mean, that's probably what got me into that was it right there, man. Ever since then, I was bitten, and you know, I loved deer hunting then, and I turkey hunted, but like I said, I can't remember when I killed my first turkey. I think it was, shoot, man, I think I was like 14, maybe. I think it was like my second, I know it was my third year. So I was either 14 or 15. It was like my third year hunting, where I finally killed my first gobbler. And it was a Jake, and I loved that, and then that set it off there. And after that, then I killed my first longbeard, I think, when I was right before I could drive.
Mm-hmm.
And ever since then, man, it's just I've been obsessed with turkey hunting. I like deer hunting, but I most guys are like, "Yeah, turkey hunting's fun. I just pass time till deer hunting." Man, I'm complete opposite. I deer hunting, fishing,
right,
small game hunting, that's just fillers, man, till spring gobbler.
Well, that's great, man. I mean, I will say I'm on the other spectrum. You know, I always tell people I'm whitetail snobby. You know, I love talking about everything, but when it comes to whitetails, I need to, you know, they have to call a priest to settle me down, and, you know, then have to perform an exorcism on me. But I feel you. I get super excited for turkey hunting. I just love being in the woods and doing it all. But, you know, catching the bug, like you said, man, and then, you know, with your pap being with you and everything, it just, you know, that's the kind of shit you'd never forget. And you know, I'm glad to hear that you have a journal to be able to pass all that stuff down, because that's awesome. It really is.
Yeah, man, I'm super 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 glad that I always kept that journal. My pap always, you know, he was the one that, well, him and my dad, I mean, pretty much everyone, they were like, "Yeah," they were like, "Man, that is something that I wish I would have done." And they just pushed me to do it every time. And, you know, when I was 14, 13, 12, 15, 16, through those years, you know, I was like, "I don't want to come home and write in a freaking journal. Like, why the heck do I want to do this?" But looking back on it, I'm so glad they made me sit down and do it, because then it's just awesome to look back and be like, oh yeah, man, that was an awesome day.
Definitely.
You know, and even when I have kids, you know, I'll be able to look back and let them read it and stuff, man. Definitely something I'm going to do with my kids. They're going to come home and they're writing too, because I had to.
Yeah, that's a great tradition, man. And I hope anybody listening to this, somebody catches that and says, boy, you know what? I want to start doing that, or I'm going to have my son or daughter do that, because that's a great idea. And we did do it for fishing camp, but I wish we would have done it for hunting. So this year, you got any special goals or anything you're trying to do? I know that I follow you, and I know that you guys got that single shot 410, and you know, that's pretty cool. That is one thing maybe you got going on this year you want to kill on with that.
Yeah, man, that is going to be my go-to from now on, actually. That's not even going to be a goal. That's going to be a standard. The 12 gauge is definitely taking a backseat on the burner from here on out for a while.
Mm-hmm.
The 410 is definitely going to be up to bat for the entire season. That's definitely something I can't wait to do, is shoot a bird with that 410.
Yeah.
And I'd say probably the biggest goal for this spring is actually my girlfriend, man. I really want her to get her first gobbler, man. She first year hunting 2 years ago, she got a doe. Last year, she got her first buck in archery season. And then this year, she's been bugging me to take her turkey hunting and everything. And because last year, she started tagging along with me. She tagged along with me, actually, some of the closer states that I hunt in turkey season. I just go by myself, and she tagged along with me to West Virginia last year, and she just, you know, I worked birds and stuff, and being there for the kill and everything, she just was like, wow, she's like, this is amazing. And she ever since then, I didn't realize it last year, she wanted to do it, and she told me this winter, she was like, you know, she's like, I want to turkey hunt. And I was like, really? And she was like, yeah. She's like, I wanted to last year. She's like, I was just scared to bug you about it. And I was like, don't be scared to bug me about it. I was like, I'll take you turkey hunting. Like, I would give up. And she even said, she's like, you can shoot the first one. And I was like, no. I was like, I want you to get a turkey. I was like, even if it costs me not killing a turkey, I mean, I don't care. I want to see you get one. I mean, if that's something you want to do, for sure.
Right.
And that, I would say that's probably my biggest goal. So I don't even know. I mean, pray to God, you know, something crazy happens, I can pull the trigger next Saturday. But for sure, that's going to be my goal. So she'll be behind the trigger first next weekend.
So I know you said you're hunting this state and that state. How many states do you hunt, and which states do you hunt?
So this year I had a busy schedule. So this year was just Virginia, West Virginia. Was supposed to be Kansas, which I'm really bummed I didn't get to make Kansas. My buddies went out there, and you know, I was gonna try to get out there, and because they were going, and I was like, man, that'd be fun to go out there. I mean, I kind of want to go now that they're going. And I tried to scramble everything together to try and go, and I just couldn't make it happen. But they went out there, man, they had a heck of a time out there. But so for this year, it was just Virginia, West Virginia, and I'll probably get out to Ohio, depending on how next weekend goes.
I got you. So you're gonna burn some vacation time here?
Probably. I mean, if I don't have to, I won't. Like I said, I can hunt. Like I told you, I can hunt Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday.
Mm-hmm.
So especially with Ohio being a Sunday state, mm-hmm. Good figure.
Right.
It makes a pretty nice 4 days to get out there is more than enough.
Definitely. Definitely, man. Plus I mean, all them states, you know, West Virginia, Maryland, you know, New York, Ohio, from our location, they're really not that far either.
No, man, I think I bounce back between here and Clarion, because that's where my girlfriend's from. And from Clarion, if I stay up there with her, it's like a 2.5 hour drive to the place I hunt in Maryland, or mm-hmm. in West Virginia. It's a 2 hour and like 10 minute drive to Maryland spot.
Mm-hmm.
From here at home where we're at, I think it's a little bit of a drive to Virginia, but still it's like 5 hours and it's 5 hours and under.
Right.
And Ohio, man, it's the same thing.
Yep.
6 hours and under.
Yep. That's usually like at mark two. That's like the mark I always say, you know, you got to get out and stretch, or like, you know, it turns into kind of a trip. Like anything over that 5 hour mark feels like a drive.
Yeah, man. If it's over 5 hours, it's a trip then, you know. Yep. It ain't just, I could get off and do a 5 hour drive after a day.
Right.
And I could make it and be somewhere by 11 o'clock midnight and even just sleep in the truck.
Yep.
Wake up at 4:30, 5 o'clock and hunt.
Yep.
But if it's over that, it's pushing it.
Yeah. No, I agree. You start pushing like the safety aspect of it, kind of. It's like, you know, I'm kind of tired, or, you know, it's like the drive's there, but you're like, oh man. You know.
Yeah, man, I know. Actually, speaking of that, being like that, yeah, my buddy, well, he's not my buddy, but a friend of a friend, actually, mm-hmm. he was trying to make it down to Southern Virginia from up here. And as you know, to Southern Virginia, man, that's a trip to Southern Virginia. Mm-hmm. Right. They were right up above Tennessee, and he was trying to get down there to hunt with them. And he made it like 4 hours in, and he was like, yeah, no way. And he slept in his truck till the morning, turned around, went home. I was like, that sucks, because like, man, you put 4 hours into it. I mean, knowing me and crazy about turkeys, I'd have just kept going.
Right.
I'd have had the windows down, smacking some energy drinks. I'd have been good to go. But
right.
I mean, I'm used to it, but yeah. You know, somebody that's never done it and just wanted to go down, man, that's 7.5 hour drive. That, oof.
Well, you were saying about, you know, having a buddy. Like, I tell guys all the time, if you got a buddy who's you're hunting with you, and you got like a road dog or a ride or die, don't ever let that son of a bitch go, because that is huge. To have somebody that's going to go with you and be with you through it all and all that stuff, even like going to get and dragging a deer out or something like that, you know,
yeah.
I mean, you can't put a price on that, you know?
No, man. Like I said, yeah, that, like you're saying with the buddy, dude, that's,
mm-hmm.
that's stellar. I have a real good friend of mine. He's a real good turkey hunter too, and he travels around too, and you know, we travel around together, and sometimes, you know, just the schedules don't work up, and interest, you know, I like to hunt these places, he likes to hunt these places, and you know,
right.
But we're usually both traveling at the same hours of the night and stuff, and you know, even when we're not going to the same place, we usually call each other and just keep the phones on speaker and the dash and just talk to each other.
Yep.
While we're driving, because I mean, it makes it go so much faster, and you obviously aren't going to fall asleep mid-conversation with someone.
Yep, that's a really good pointer, you know, for people that are going to travel and hunt anywhere, is, you know, make them phone calls to your buddies to talk about the trip or hunting or, you know, whatever. Yeah, that definitely knocks hours off the trip.
Oh, for sure.
You know, listening to podcasts is something that I like to do when I put the seat time in. That's basically how this podcast got started, but
podcasts are definitely a go-to. I love listening to podcasts when I'm driving. I mean, music is all right, but I mean, it gets
old.
It gets monotonous after a while. Yeah. Man, I need something else.
Yeah, definitely, man. So let's bring up the Clear Cut Outdoors stuff and how you got that started, and you know, what are your goals with that? You know, what are you guys looking to push out some videos, just looking to show people some stuff, or just, you know, you want to get your story out there?
Clear Cut Outdoors started, I think I had the page made like my senior year of high school.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was, I had it named something different, and I don't even remember. I don't even remember what it was named before, and I, you know, I was just something stupid.
Right.
People were always like, man, and they were like, all you do is post like turkeys or like deer on your Instagram and on your social media and stuff.
Right.
And I'm like, oh, like, you know, that's all I do. Right. I'm like, sorry. I'm like, that's all I do.
It's my life.
And I was like, so I made another Instagram page, another, you know, I mm-hmm. think at that time it was just an Instagram page I had made.
Right.
And then I think freshman year of college is when I changed it over. I mean, and the name came from hunting clear cuts. I love hunting clear cuts. Me and my buddies love hunting clear cuts.
Right.
And And then the Pennsylvania game lands, there is no shortage of clear cuts, especially around here, man.
All right. They
love to cut the trees, and they love to make clear cuts everywhere.
Yeah.
I'm sure you know that.
Oh, yeah.
They love it. So the name came from that, and then it also came from the photography, because I've been bitten by photography and videography.
Awesome.
I mean, I was bitten by that bug. I mean, I love sharing my life and experiences and everything through a camera lens, and you know, and so the clear cut, you know, kind of, I was like, well, you know, pictures are like clear cut, you know, they're clear and cut, you know, and stone.
Yeah, yeah.
And so the name was just, you know, fit, and I just thought of it, and we made it. And then it started out just you know, sharing my hunts, a different place to share my hunts, share my stuff, and you know, with my buddy, and people started sending us stuff, and you know, and people wanted stuff shared, and I was like, yeah, sure, I'll share stuff, and you know, it's, you know, content's content, I'll share stuff, you know,
yeah,
on there.
Absolutely.
And occasionally you'll catch me sharing, you know, people will send me a picture, and they're like, oh, you think you could post this? And I was like, yeah, sure, man, I don't care, I'll post it for sure.
Right, absolutely.
You know, more hunting, if it makes you happy and it makes other people happy, I'm gonna share it for sure. But the main thing was to share the hunts and stuff through that. And I'd say within probably the last year, maybe. Yeah, I'd say about a year is when I started getting real serious with it, where it's taken over. I'm on it every day. I'm doing stuff with it every day. I'm editing stuff, posting stuff, throwing polls. I love throwing polls up to get people's opinions on things, like mm-hmm. you said, Sunday hunting.
Right, right.
I love doing this or that. It's like decoys, no decoys, 12 gauge, 20 gauge, right. TSS, lead, archery rifle, crossbow, compound,
right.
You know.
Yep.
Trout fishing, bass fishing. Right. I love throwing polls up like that. I'd say in the last year, man, I started getting serious. I started getting more followers. I started getting more interactions.
Mm-hmm.
I have the Facebook page up. I'm working on it. I'd like to get a website up, because we have merchandise and stuff, hoodies, hats, t-shirts, beanies. I'm trying to think of what to call them, like koozies, I guess.
Right.
You know, talking about koozies, keychain holders. I mean, just a pile of different things with the logo.
Right.
And just, you know, I'm not pushing it, and I'm not pushing people to buy stuff, but people were bugging me, like bugging the heck out of me. People were asking me, like, are you going to make you know, this? Are you going to make that? Do you have t-shirts? Do you have women's shirts? Right. Do you have this? Do you have that? And I was just like, I can probably get it done. And, so I'd love to get a website up for people to just purchase from there. Cause right now I just do it through, like a Cash App on my phone, mm-hmm. and I have the stuff made and I ship it out on my own. But I'd love to have like a website. I'd like to get a website up for that, so it can just go through that. But, and then for the video part of stuff, yeah, I have videos, that from hunts and stuff that we've videoed. As for pushing stuff out right now, it's just been little short films of things and stuff that I thought were cool.
Right.
But I'd say this season it is really the first season that I'm going hardcore with the videos and stuff. I'm going to start editing and pushing videos out to YouTube.
Yeah, man. Sure. It's awesome. I love what you're doing with it. I think it's awesome. And like I said, I didn't know you were that local, which is freaking great. I love that. But
yeah. Right over the hill.
yeah. I mean, you're for any listener out there, him and I are probably only 35 minutes apart, 30 minutes apart. So,
yeah.
We probably hunt the same game lands.
More than likely. Yeah. I do like to venture. I do like to venture up your way.
Yep.
You definitely don't have a shortage of turkeys up that way. And I definitely know about them. And
right.
You definitely could probably, once you find my vehicle, you definitely could probably catch me up that way a couple times a year for sure during the season.
Well, we'll have to meet up, man. We'll have to meet up. We'll do a little meet and greet for sure. But I don't want to, I want to be sensitive to your time here. I don't want to take you up all night. I know you're trying to heal up and get ready for Saturday. So, before you go, we were talking about Clear Cut Outdoors, but let everybody know where they can find it, you know, where they can follow you at and just follow your adventures at.
Yeah, man. Like I said, Instagram is the main thing. That's where I'm on there every day posting. It's just clearcut_outdoors to look it up, and you'll find it on Instagram. Facebook is just Clear Cut Outdoors, and then there is actually been growing quite a bit. I made a Clear Cut Outdoors group, which is getting up there in members, actually.
That's awesome.
And, you know, people can go in there, discuss about Pennsylvania-related hunting things, ask questions, and guys will engage, post their success, and you know, people promote it. And I actually do about every month or every 2 months, I actually post in there and get guys to drop their pictures for a profile picture. And I'll change the profile pictures out so people can get, you know, someone lucky that I decide that I like, you know, like if everyone likes, I usually go off about how many likes the picture gets or if it's super cool, you know.
Right.
Right now I'm running one still is for spring, because the last one was just like deer, and a guy, you know, was begging me. he loved it, and posted his buck picture, and I threw it up there as a profile picture in the group. And it's just, if you go to the Facebook Clear Cut page, you can go to groups and on the page there, and it'll show you right to the group. And then YouTube is just Clear Cut Outdoors as well. But like I said, the YouTube thing's definitely going to start pushing more vids out after this season.
That's awesome, man. And like I said, you know, having anything Pennsylvania outdoor related is really, you know, what I'm trying to push. And, you know, I'm glad you're pushing this stuff out there. And, you know, for everybody that's listening, make sure you guys go over and follow Clear Cut Outdoors. Something I just recently started following, and Hunter's doing a really good job with it, and got my full support. So I really appreciate you coming on here, brother. And, you know, like I said, we'll have to meet up here soon.
Yeah, for sure, man. And one last thing, yeah, I was just hopped on my phone there real quick and was looking at it. Actually, on the Instagram page, for anybody that wants to check other stuff out, I actually have a Linktree link in the bio that you can just click on, and it'll take you to any of our pages.
Okay. Yeah, that's definitely the quickest way and easiest way to get to all that stuff. So
yeah, sure.
All right, man. Well, hey, big day coming up Saturday. I wish you luck, and hopefully you're back at the truck by 8 o'clock.
Yeah, I hope so, man. We were back by 6:30 yesterday.
There we go, man. You couldn't draw it up any better than that.
Yeah, for sure, man.
So, all right, man. Well, we'll talk to you soon, and till then, man. Good luck.
All right, thanks, man.
All right, we'll see you. All right, that concludes it for the first episode. I hope you guys enjoyed, and please go subscribe, follow, and rate this podcast. It'd be a true solid to me here, and I really appreciate you guys listening. Until next time, God bless.